Dragnet.
The Jack Benny Program.
I'm that man. Matt Dillon, United States Marshal.
George Burns and Gracie Allen.
Good evening, friends of the Inner Sanctum.
We offer you Escape.
Our Miss Brooks. Suspense.
Richard Diamond, Private Detective.
Fibber McGee and Molly.
The Great Gildersleeve.
Yeah. Radio Theater.
In the air.
Dedicated to man's imagination, the theater of the mind.
You know what our call letters WGN stand for, don't you?
WGN Radio Theater.
The special three-hour presentation
with Carl Amari and Lisa Wolf.
About 8 minutes after 11 p.m. here on a Saturday night. This is program 177 in the WGN radio series. I'm your host, Carl Amari. To my right, the vivacious, very effervescent, and with a new haircut, Lisa Wolf. What's up, Lisa?
Hi, Carl. Got it's little, exciting, right?
You got them all cut or just a couple cut?
Just a couple. Just yeah. Here and there. Every other hair, we
you,
got them cut.
Tell the truth. Did you lighten it, too? Looks lighter.
Yeah, I highlighted.
Oh, okay.
That's not.
I'm not sure if that's something you don't say.
No, it's not a secret. A few looks highlights and a haircut.
Very
know.
Nice.
It's a spring picker-upper.
Looks
upper.
Good.
Thanks.
Dimples are very deep.
Thank you.
And it's May 6th, and we have classic radio shows for you all the way until 2 o'clock in the morning, including The Shadow with Orson Welles. Then it's Duffy's Tavern and The Saint, and it's all brought to you in part by Cat's Pride.
Dum, 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 dum. It's time for Celebrity Scoop, brought to you by Cat's Pride. Meow!
This actor stars as Captain Steve Trevor in the upcoming superhero film Wonder Woman, the fourth installment in the DC Extended Universe. And the winner gets a $25 gift certificate for Lou Malnati's.
Well, this guy likes playing captains because he plays Captain Kirk in the new Star Trek film series as well. 312-981-7200, 312-981-7200. Who is this actor?
Don't you at least want to know my name before you completely reject me?
All right, who is that actor? Give us a call, 312-981-7200. Win a Lou Malnati's Pizza gift certificate. We'll be right back.
And we are back. This is show 177 of the WGN Radio Theater. We're playing Celebrity Scoop. Let's play it again.
Don't you at least want to know my name before you completely reject me?
And we've got Steve on the line. Hey, Steve.
Oh, hi, how are you?
I'm great. How are you?
Good.
Good to hear from you. So who's that actor who likes to play captains?
Answer is Chris Pine.
Chris Pine is absolutely right. I hope you love pizza.
I love it.
Oh, good, because you're going to get a Lou Malnati's gift certificate for $25. It's home of Chicago's best deep dish pizza, of course. You can find one of their 40-plus Chicagoland locations. You can order online at loumalnati's.com. Thanks a lot for calling in, and congratulations.
You know, yeah. I got a funny story to tell you.
Sure.
Chris Pine is the host of Saturday Night Live tonight.
I know. We just figured that out. You know, I made that happen. I orchestrated that perfectly.
Oh, okay, because whoever saw the show knows the answer, because that was the first thing he said. I play Steve Trevor on Wonder Woman, and he did a whole song to the tune of Billy Joel of Uptown Girl, in which he said he's not Chris Evans, he's not Chris Hemsworth.
That's funny. Well, I had a little talk with him before the show, and I asked him to help me out, and so he did. Thanks a lot. That worked out really well.
Thanks, okay, Steve.
Thank you.
Thanks.
All right. Our producer, Shante Garth, in the booth, best in the business. Beth in the business.
The best in the business.
The best. you know what? We have a Twitter, right?
We have a
Twitter, right? We have a Facebook, a Twitter. Our text line is 312-981-7200. Make sure to text us. We get back to, talk about our texts a lot on the air.
We read them sometimes on the air, just sometimes to each other. Sometimes we reply, but we do read them, and we do take your suggestions seriously.
If there's things you want to hear,
there
text
you go.
Us. All right, it is time for The Shadow, one of radio's most popular mystery detective shows. It came to the air in the 1930s as just a narrator of stories from Street and Smith magazine. But by 1937, they hired Orson Welles to play Lamont Cranston, alias The Shadow. And The Shadow had the power, Lisa, to cloud men's minds so that they could not see him. And he used that power to fight crime. His girlfriend was named Margot Lane, and the very first Margot Lane was Agnes Moorhead from Bewitched. She played Endora on that. Also, Bill Johnstone, John Archer, and Brett Morrison all played the role of The Shadow. And we have a Orson Welles episode for you now from July 23rd, 1938. This is called Murders in Wax. Here's Orson Welles in part one of The Shadow.
Who knows what evil lurks in the hearts of men? The shadow knows.
The Shadow, Lamont Cranston, a man of wealth, a student of science, and a master of other people's minds, devotes his life to righting wrongs, protecting the innocent, and punishing the guilty. Using advanced methods that may ultimately become available to all law enforcement agencies, Cranston is known to the underworld as the Shadow. Never seen, only heard. As haunting to superstitious minds as a ghost. As inevitable as a guilty conscience. The Shadow's true identity is known only to his constant friend and aide, Margot Lane. Today's story, Murders in Wax.
Ladies and gentlemen, we invite you to step inside and view the illuminating and educational exhibits that are the features of our waxwork. See Bluebeard actually slaying his eight wives. See Custer's last stand. See the capture of George Keegan, public enemy number one. And many other thrilling, lifelike tableaux. The price of admission is only one dime, 10 cents. Our lecture is just starting, and if you hurry, 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 you'll be just in time to witness the complete show on the inside. Step right up now. How many for the first?
Two, please.
Gentlemen, if you'll just step over here to the next platform, I shall describe to you the details of the feature tableau of our exhibit.
Say, they look like real people, don't they?
Yeah, how do they make them?
With wax.
Gee.
This tableau is a dramatic reenactment of the capture of George Keegan, the notorious gang chief of Prohibition Day. He was arrested in the manner shown right here. No doubt you all recognize the figures of the brave men who personally led the police squad who made the capture. On the left, the wax figure of our own Mayor Lewis. Center, our District Attorney Armstrong. And right, Police Commissioner Weston.
Were they really there when Keegan was caught?
Sure he was.
George Keegan's arrest put an end to the wave of crime and lawlessness that gripped our city for a decade. He is now imprisoned in the state penitentiary for the rest of his natural life.
Gee, the girl in the tableau sure looks lifelike.
Yeah.
Oh, ask them who she is.
Okay. Hey, Cap, who's that girl?
Just calling her that, brother. A little lady seated in the chair was Keegan's gun mom, Edna Kelly.
Oh,
she was with him in the hideout at the time of the raid.
Hey, look at that. The wax figure fell off the chair.
Don't get excited, folks. It's only a wax figure. I'll just set it up again and...
Holy cats.
It's real.
It's a real
body. A dead body. A dead body of Edna Kelly.
Hey, it's really Edna Kelly.
Edna Kelly, how'd she get here?
Oh, she's been murdered.
Murdered!
You do row beautifully, but if you don't pull a trifle harder on that right oar, we'll hit that rock.
All right, there we are. A little rusty on navigation, Margaret. It's my first rowboat venture in the park this spring.
I'm really enjoying it. I need a little fresh air and sunshine after that experience of the waxworks yesterday. That was pretty terrible.
How'd you ever happen to go to that place, Margaret?
Well, I was showing the town to my cousin Jane from upstate. We passed the waxworks museum, and she insisted on going in. She'd never seen a chamber of horror.
And she saw more horror than she bargained for.
Yes, and so did I. I'll never forget it.
Just what was that wax tableau like?
It was set in a replica of a furnished room in the house where Keegan was captured.
Yes?
The figures of Mayor Lewis, District Attorney Armstrong, and Police Commissioner Weston were grouped about Keegan and Edna Kelly.
Didn't anyone notice the figure of the Kelly girl was actually she and so it fell from the chair?
No. The wax figures were so lifelike that no one suspected.
I see. I rowed the island.
Oh, that'd be nice. Lamont, whom do you think killed Edna Kelly?
Well, she was a gunman's girl. They're always the obvious suspects, her lovers, enemies, or even members of his gang who might be more comfortable with her out of the way. But somehow, I don't think it was either of these.
Why, Lamont?
Doesn't it strike you that the substitution of the girl's body to the waxwork in such a spectacular fashion may have some deeper significance than a mere bizarre effect?
Oh, what do you mean?
It must have been the girl's connection with the other people represented in that group that motivated the murder in bringing her body there.
I don't quite understand.
My deductions are correct. The taking of Edna Kelly's life is only the first of a series of vengeful murders.
But Lamont, if that's true, isn't there anything you can do to forestall
it? Perhaps I only knew a little more. I only knew where the killer plans to strike next.
Surely the Shadow can find that out.
With your help, Margot, perhaps he can.
A fine bunch of detectives I've got in this department. You call yourselves a homicide squad? That's a laugh.
But, Commissioner Weston, we've combed this city.
Logan, have you checked on the story of the museum proprietor?
Commissioner, you talked to him yourself.
Have you verified his statements?
Yes, Chief, they're solid. Yeah.
The murderer entered the Waxworks Museum by a back door. It was found jimmied. After he put Edna Kelly's body in the tableau, he took the wax image of her outside and buried it under some trash in the alley.
Did you go over the image for fingerprints, Cardona?
Yeah, but we couldn't find anything.
Tell him about the face.
Oh, yeah, Commissioner. A funny thing, the face of the wax dummy had been slashed with a knife across the left cheek.
Why didn't you tell me that before? You know what that means as well as I do.
That's right. That's the mark of a squealer.
Yeah, but it couldn't have been any mob stuff. The probation report shows that Edna Kelly's been going straight ever since Keegan was sent away.
If you ask me, I think it was a lunatic that done it.
Yeah.
No sane guy had set a dead girl's body up for exhibition in that waxworks joint.
No, it looks to me like one of them love things. Some guy carrying a torch for Kelly.
You're both wrong. It was no lunatic that committed that murder. And Edna Kelly hasn't gone out with anyone since Keegan started his stretch.
Then what, Chief?
Edna Kelly was murdered for vengeance. By someone who wanted to settle a score with her lover, George Keegan. Keegan can't be reached in the big house, so they take it out on a girl.
And what about the mark of the squealer on the face of the wax figure?
That ties right in. That was the murderer's way of telling Keegan what he thought of him. Keegan has saved his neck by squealing on a dozen guys.
Say, that's right.
Yeah. Of course it's right. Cardona, first thing in the morning, I want you and Hogan to conduct a general roundup of every known enemy of George Keegan.
That won't do any good, Commissioner.
It's the Shadow.
Where is he? Don't trouble to find him. Why are you here, Shadow?
To aid you in capturing the murderer of Edna Kelly.
What do you know about the case?
I know that you shouldn't be wasting your men's time rounding up possible suspects. While the real assassin is left free to strike his next blow.
Now, see here, Shadow. Don't tell me how to run my department.
Hold on, Weston. I have every reason to suspect that the placing of the Kelly girl's body in the wax tableau was intended as a warning of other deaths to follow.
Other deaths? You think there's going to be more killings?
Be quiet, Hogan. Tell me what you mean, Shadow.
I mean that the other people represented in that wax tableau are in danger of being killed, too. They're the mayor, the district attorney, and you yourself, Commissioner Weston.
That sounds preposterous.
Not at all. My advice is that you act quickly. One of you may be at this moment in imminent peril.
Oh, come, Shadow. What possible motive could the murderer of the girl have for wishing to kill us as well? I think that you're... Excuse me. Hello?
Mrs. Armstrong, the district attorney's wife, wants to talk to you.
Put her on.
Hello?
Yes, Mrs. Armstrong. This is Commissioner Weston.
Oh, Commissioner, I'm dreadfully worried about John.
What's wrong?
Well, shortly after dinner, he went out. Said he might take a walk. Several hours passed, and he didn't return. I must have fallen asleep. And when I woke up a few minutes ago, he still hadn't come back. Oh, this isn't like John, Commissioner.
What time is it now?
It's after 2 a.m.
Well, now, don't be alarmed, Mrs. Armstrong. He's probably detained somewhere on business. I'll try to locate him for you and call you back.
Oh, thank you.
District Attorney has disappeared.
Disappeared? Say,
well, maybe Commissioner Weston.
You think, Shadow, that...
Yes, Commissioner. I fear that the killer has struck again.
It can't be.
If I were you, I would go to the Waxworks Museum. At once. You may arrive in time to stop this murderer from completing his monstrous work.
He was very dramatic, that Orson Welles, wasn't he?
Well, you would know. You're pretty dramatic yourself. So.
I wonder if people used to say, oh, Welles.
Oh, Welles.
I wonder if the people said that. Oh, Welles.
Probably.
Orson.
Yeah. I get it.
You know who his producing partner was back in the 1930s, in the late 1930s, was John Houseman.
I love him.
Yeah. Remember The Paper Chase?
That was one of my favorite shows growing up.
Really?
I mean, I just wanted to go to law school because that show turned me on to law school. I wanted to be in that class. I wanted the Socratic method, and I wanted John Houseman to be my teacher.
Well, yeah, so you didn't become a lawyer, but you married one.
Well, I thought about it. I used to go to the – I belonged to the Young Lawyers Club and everything.
Did you?
Yeah, and I took the practice.
Is that where you met Dan?
No. And I took the practice LSAT and everything.
LSAT?
LSAT, the LSAT.
LSAT? LSAT.
LSAT, sorry. Okay. You know, that's the lingo when you're in the business, you know.
Right.
But I didn't end up going that direction.
You know that John Houseman was the very first celebrity I ever interviewed?
That's not a bad way to start.
Yeah, 1981.
Was he intimidating?
Well, you know.
He has a presence about him.
Yeah, I think in 1981, I was a freshman in college. I was a senior in high school, freshman in college, because I had graduated a half a year early out of high school. And he came to Triton College to speak, and then I had arranged to interview him because I was doing a classic radio show on Triton College at that time. And he was just awesome. He was really nice. He took about 10, 15 minutes and talked about working with Orson Welles and on the Mercury Theater on the Air and the War of the Worlds. And he gets it all the time, I'm sure.
I think that would be
not
one
anymore
of my,
because he's passed.
One
but
of my, that would have been one of my top interviews.
I'm sure back then when people were interviewing, they would say, what was it like with the War of the Worlds and how did that all come about? And
sure.
He gave a lot of the credit to, he's just like, that was all Orson, you know.
Well, maybe it was.
Yeah, like I give you all the credit. It's all Lisa.
Yeah, well, when it's true, it's true.
The success of, you know, of WGN Radio, it's all Lisa.
Well, you know, sometimes it's true.
Call a spade, right?
Okay, so here we just got the nicest text. It
what
says,
does it
Carl
say?
And Lisa, I think you guys are awesome. Carl is so smooth.
Ooh,
that's a
I'm
good one.
Smooth. Hang on. Yeah, I am kind of smooth.
And Lisa's so pretty. That's so nice.
Wow, I thought you were the talent and the brains.
Well, that too.
And I was the
character. Well, that too. This is just a, you know, another layer.
Yeah. Okay.
We're all good.
All right. Well, when we come back from commercials in the news, it's more of The Shadow. Then a little later, Duffy's Tavern, probably one of the funniest comedy shows of the golden age of radio. Then we have Vincent Price as Simon Templar, the saint. But first, we have to pay some bills. We'll be right back.
Back to WGN Radio Theater with Earl Amari and Lisa Wolf.
That's us, Lisa.
That's us, Carl.
This is our show, the WGN Radio Theater. We've been on the air for over 2 years here on the greatest radio station in the country, Radio 720. WGN stands for World's Greatest Newspaper. Very good.
Thanks, Carl.
And we have our show is on every Saturday and Sunday night from 11 p.m. until 2 o'clock in the morning.
And we have a Facebook page. Check it out, WGN Radio Theater. We have our schedule up there. We have photos of the stars in each of the radio shows. And it's a great way to communicate with us as well.
Right. So, like,
texting.
Right now we're playing The Shadow, and there's a really cool kind of sinister picture of Orson Welles as The Shadow. A little later there'll be a picture. And
They're all up. I posted all of them.
Okay, so there's a picture of Ed Archie Gardner from Duffy's Tavern, and then there's a picture of Vincent Price, very dramatic picture of Vincent Price as the saint.
You like the dramatic.
Very dramatic. All right, it's time now for the conclusion to Murders in Wax on The Shadow.
Well, here's the Wax Museum, Commissioner Weston.
Sergeant? Take some men around to guard the back door.
Yes, sir.
Cardona, has anyone any keys to this place?
No, sir. We'll have to force the lock.
All right, go to it.
Okay.
I'll help you.
Get in there.
All right.
Get in.
Okay.
All right. There she is.
Now, where's the light switch?
Never mind that. Use your flashlight.
Okay. Hey. Kind of scary in here, ain't it?
Yeah, it gives you the creeps.
Hey, what's that?
Where?
The guy over there. Got a knife.
Don't shoot, you fool. That's one of the wax dummies.
Oh.
Now, where is this Keegan tableau?
It's right over here on the left.
Oh. So that's it.
Well, I guess nothing's happened yet, Chief. Doesn't look like anything's been disturbed. That's the wax dummy of District Attorney Armstrong sitting down in a chair. Sitting down? Hey, it seems to me his dummy was standing up the last time he was here.
What? Give me a lift up on the platform, quick.
Yeah, you think it may be this?
I don't know. Flash the light over here. Good heavens.
It's Armstrong.
Is it really District Attorney Armstrong?
Yes. Dead. Murdered.
And he was brought here just like the Shadow said he was.
Yes. Just as I said, gentlemen. I'm sorry that I couldn't have warned you earlier.
Who did this thing, Shadow? You know? Who did it?
I'm not sure. But with your cooperation, Commissioner Weston, together we may bring about his downfall.
How?
I am positive now that either you or Mayor Lewis, the next victim marked to go. Guard yourselves well.
I'll attend to that, all right.
You'll hear from me soon, Commissioner. When the Shadow finds out who the killer is, he will be brought to justice.
Quite evident now, Margaret, even to Commissioner Weston, that the killer's aimed to do away with everyone concerned in that tableau.
Then, Lamont, you mean the mayor, the commissioner, and Keegan? They're the only ones left.
Exactly. Let's see, I should take a right turn here.
Lamont, do you believe these murders were the work of a madman?
Not at all. I think that whoever's behind all this is quite sane, Margaret, quite sane.
What makes you say that?
There's some important civic figures in that group. Their removal would be highly advantageous to a political rival.
But surely political rivalry wouldn't be sufficient motive for these horrible crimes.
I wonder.
And besides the girl, Edna Kelly, how would she fit into that picture?
That's what we're driving up here to find out. Here's the prison now.
A cheerful-looking spot.
I'll drive you up to the gate and let you out. I shan't go in with you.
Why not?
The warden, Mr. Driscoll, has never been a particular admirer of mine. Feeling which I reciprocate.
Why, Lamont?
Well, I had occasion to expose the graft-ridden conditions in this prison a few years ago. Naturally, that didn't make me too popular with Mr. Driscoll. Here we are. Now, remember what I told you?
I think so. I'm a reporter from the Daily Globe. I'm to ask for an interview with Edna Kelly's sweetheart, Keegan. And when I see him, I'll try to find out from him. Tell me something, Mr. Keegan. The readers of the Daily Globe have sent us thousands of letters expressing their interest in your reaction to the tragic death of Miss Kelly.
I ain't got nothing to say about it.
Do you believe that the killing was executed by one of your enemies?
I wouldn't know.
You loved Edna Kelly, didn't you?
Hey, what are you giving out with, the Lonely Hearts column?
No. No, you see...
Lay off that love stuff.
But, Mr. Keegan, I was sent up here by my paper to get a human interest story from you. And after all, well, you were fond of Miss Kelly. She was your girl.
My girl? Oh, no.
But
I'll tell you what Edna Kelly was. She was the same as any other dame, see? She was a double-crosser.
But I thought...
Wait a minute, Wynn. I didn't mean that. Don't write nothing like I just said there. I get a little screwy sometimes when I think about what happened to you.
Oh, of course. I understand.
Just don't write nothing, will you?
Well, no. No, but what about this theory that she was slain by one of your enemies, Mr. Keegan?
I wouldn't know.
I tell you, Lamont, he flared up so suddenly when I asked him if he really loved her. I was scared to death.
He called her a double-crosser, eh?
Yeah, but he regretted it the next second. He asked me to be sure and not write anything about it.
That's most interesting, Margot, and thank you for your excellent work.
But has what I told you helped you unravel any...
Greatly.
Well, what happens now?
I think that there are many more interesting facts to be learned there at prison.
Yes?
This evening, the Shadow shall pay a call on his old friend, Warden Driscoll.
Come in.
Can I see you for a minute, Warden?
What's the trouble, Guy?
Well, it's about Keegan.
Well, what about him?
Well, I put him in solitary, like you told me.
Yes, yes.
That was this morning I done that.
Hey, Carrie, what are you trying to tell me?
Well, he ain't had no food for the last three meals.
So?
So I was wondering if something should be done to make him eat. He just lays quiet on his bunk.
I thought I told you that no one was to go near Keegan's cell without my orders.
Well, I thought if he wasn't eating...
Carrie, if you just perform your duties as guard around here and let the warden do the thinking, everything will be satisfactory.
Yeah, sure, warden, sure.
And leave Keegan alone.
Yeah, yes, sir. I'm sorry. Good night, Warden.
Close that door after you.
Yes, sir.
Hello? Yes? Oh, yes, Mac. Oh, did he get away all right? Good. Yeah? Well, get him back here before daylight, no matter what happens. Yeah, okay. Tell him I hope he does a good job. Huh? Yeah. Yeah. Now, goodbye.
You seem to be quite amused, Warden Driscoll.
Huh? Hey, what? Who's that?
Won't you share your little joke with me?
Carrie, are you outside that door? Is that you talking? Carrie, if this is your idea of something funny...
This is not Carrie.
Well, who are you?
I am the Shadow.
The Shadow?
Yes, Warden.
Well, why are you here? What do you want with me?
I came in when Carrie left. I overheard your phone conversation, Driscoll. It's very interesting.
Really?
Yes. I'm more than curious to know who you were talking about.
Now, listen, Shadow. What business
it
have you...
It wouldn't have been George Keegan.
Oh, now, see here. I have had enough of
Wait,
this...
Wait, Warden. I wouldn't advise you to leave until we've finished our conversation.
Well, what are you after, Shadow?
I am seeking the murderer of Edna Kelly and District Attorney Armstrong.
Well, why look here?
Because this is where he is to be found.
Who do you mean?
George Keegan.
Keegan? Oh, that's preposterous. How could a man in prison for the rest of his life suddenly commit two murders in a city 50 miles away?
Very simple, Warden. He just go there.
Are you inferring that Keegan has escaped?
Oh, no, nothing as crude as that. But if he were allowed to, shall we say, take a leave of absence for a night...
Keegan has never left these buildings.
Where is he now?
In his cell.
Oh, no, he isn't. I investigated before I came here. His cell is empty.
Oh, yes. Yes, that's right. I forgot... He's in solitary confinement.
You mean his cot is stuffed with pillows to make it appear as if he were in solitary confinement?
Ah, that's not true.
I'll tell you where George Keegan is. He's on his way to the city right now to add another link to his chain of cold-blooded murders. He's gone there with your full knowledge and consent.
No, no.
It would be a great political advantage for you to have the District Attorney Armstrong, the Mayor Lewis, and Commissioner Weston out of the way. Wouldn't it, Warden?
No, you don't know what you're talking about.
It's an easy thing to prey upon the susceptible jealousies of a man like Keegan till you've goaded him into carrying out your evil wishes.
You can never prove what you're saying.
I haven't time to right now, Warden. The lives of the mayor and the commissioner at stake. Unless I'm able to stop Keegan, I shall present more than enough proof necessary to implicate you to the district attorney's office in the morning. So you'd better think hard and fast, Warden Driscoll.
Margot Lane. Calling Margot Lane. Telephone Police Commissioner Weston immediately. There's no time to lose. Tell him that tonight both he and the mayor are in great danger. Even now it may be too late. They do have time to follow up my instructions. Tell them that they must follow my instructions.
All right, Mr. Mayor. Stay sitting at that desk and keep your back to me. I got a gun here. Don't turn around. Just listen. I'm George Keegan. Remember me? You was one of the heroes that made the pinch when I was picked up. You must remember. Why, they even got a little statue of you and me down at the Wax Museum. Now do you know... You'd better know, Mr. Mayor, because I'm sending you down personally to take that statue's place. Well, why don't you say something? Are you scared to talk? Where's all that fancy gab that you hand out at banquets and meetings? Come on, speak up. Come on, what's the matter with you? Speak up, will you? All right, then you'll get yours just the same. Looks like I just brought about a special election. Now, Mr. Mayor, I'll just take this corpse of yours down to the museum and then... Hey, what's this? This ain't nobody. The dummy, your plants. What?
You've gotten your targets mixed, haven't you, Keegan?
Who's that?
Aren't you surprised to find yourself shooting at a wax dummy?
Come on out in the open. Who are you?
I'm right here with you. I am your shadow.
Come on, Ken, that phony talk. What are you, a copper?
No, just your personal nemesis, Keegan. Now, I'd advise you to drop that gun.
Not a chance.
Close in on him, Commissioner Weston.
Wait. Over your hands, Keegan.
Let go of me. Let go of me.
Take that gun away from him.
Here you are, Chief.
This is your waxworks murderer, Commissioner.
Thank you, Shadow.
You guys ain't got nothing on me.
How did you get out of jail,
Keegan? I flew out the window.
With the help of Warden Driscoll.
Is this true? Did Driscoll aid you in these crimes?
Driscoll wasn't in.
Who's that?
Ah, I see you caught him.
Good work, Commissioner.
Hello, Warden Driscoll. What brings you here?
This man, Keegan, escaped from my prison tonight. And I learned that his purpose in leaving was to make good a threat he'd made on the life of our mayor.
Hey, what is this baloney you're throwing out, Warden? You...
Quiet, you. I've just learned that this isn't the first time he's got out either.
A very good story, Warden. Only I think that George Keegan could tell us a different one.
Shadow, you here?
Yes. And I sort of expected you'd come too, Warden.
What's this all about, Shadow?
Perhaps Keegan can explain that to you, Commissioner.
How about that?
Listen, I ain't no squealer, see? But that Warden ain't telling the truth, not one bit. That's all I gotta say.
Hey, Commissioner, what is this all about? Am I being placed under suspicion here in the testimony of a shadow?
Just a minute, Warden. What are you holding back, Keegan?
I can answer that for you, Commissioner Weston. Keegan is shielding the Warden as the real instigator of the waxworks murder.
That's a lie.
He wanted you all on the way, Commissioner, so he employed Keegan as his instrument of murder.
Don't listen to him.
Go on, Shadow.
But first, he had to give Keegan sufficient incentive to perform these crimes, so he went to work on his emotions, his jealousy.
How?
He told Keegan that his girl, Edna Kelly, had been double-crossing him. Right along. Keegan, this was a lie.
Huh? What, do you mean she was on a level?
Absolutely, Keegan.
Why, Driscoll, you dirty...
Hey, look out, he's got another gun.
Don't.
Hey,
don't. Go on. Go on, roll in pain. Just like Edna done before she died. That's right. Try to talk. That's what she done, too. And I laughed at her. That's what I did.
Take him away.
Driscoll
is dead, Commissioner.
Well, perhaps that's for the best. Shadow, are you still there?
Yes, Commissioner.
I want to thank you heartily for this night's work.
I seek no credit, Commissioner. However, I have a suggestion for you.
What's that?
The Wax Museum decides to create a new tableau depicting this present event. Might be wise for you to arrange to be excluded from it. Give people ideas.
You have been listening to a dramatized version of one of the many copyrighted stories which appear in the Shadow magazine.
The weed of crime bears bitter fruit. Crime does not pay. The Shadow knows.
All the characters and all the places named are fictitious. Any similarity to persons living or dead is purely coincidental.
You're purely coincidental, Lisa. Did you know that?
That doesn't make any sense.
You're very coincidental.
That's not the word you mean. I'm something, all right. I don't know if that's
you're
it.
Something, that's yeah. For sure. Yeah. Murders in Wax on the Shadow. Going way back to July 23rd, 1938. What was the first year of high school for you?
Yeah, that's about right, yeah.
Orson Welles, along with... that was not Agnes Moorhead in that show. That was Margot Stevenson. There's a little debate about the Margot Lane character mm-hmm. was possibly named after this actress, Margot Stevenson. But Agnes Moorhead did play the lovely Margot Lane along with Margot Stevenson. They kind of switched off week to week. And Ken Roberts doing the announcing on this. Good episode of The Shadow with Orson Welles, or O. Welles was the actor in that. Pretty good, right?
Yeah, that's funny.
All right. Let's take a quick break. Then it's more on the WGN Radio Theater. Okay, Lisa Wolf.
Hi, Carl.
It's good to see you.
Thanks. We've been together for an hour.
Did we see each other during the week? No, I don't think so, right?
We didn't even talk that much this week.
Yeah, I didn't have any drama happening.
Well, that's not true.
Did I?
A little bit.
A little drama? Oh, really? Oh, yeah, maybe a little bit.
A little bit.
Yeah, normally when I have drama, I give Lisa a call. Hey, Lisa, help me out here, Miss Abby.
Yeah, well, this one I couldn't help you too much.
When she signed up for this gig, became my therapist.
This is a full-time job.
My right-hand gal, right?
You're Margot Lane.
Margot Lane. So we just listened to The Shadow. Coming up after the news, it's Duffy's Tavern. Probably the funniest, I think one of, if not the funniest comedy show. And my brother, who is very crabby, loves the show.
I don't remember him ever coming here to WGN.
He came here once, I think.
Did he?
Yeah, I think so. He came here and hosted the show with me when
you're
on one of your
here.
Many vacations.
Yes, okay.
When you're rich and you can fly all around the place like you do.
That's what I do.
Take vacations.
Flap my wings and go.
Drop of a hat.
Yes, that's me. Always taken off somewhere exotic.
Co-hosted the show with me one time.
And how did that go for you?
Good. He did a nice job. You know, he's very crabby, and yet this show makes him laugh. So that is really
quite... You mean Duffy's Tavern?
Yeah.
Okay.
That's quite...
Maybe he's just laughing at you.
Yeah, then we have The Saint. Oh, one of the best. I really love The Saint because Vincent Price, although it's kind of weird because The Saint was an English detective. You know, we've seen Roger Moore play The Saint. But on radio, they had Vincent Price, although he had a very kind of, he wasn't British, though.
No,
Vincent Price. You would think they would have had Basil Rathbone or somebody like that play
The Saint. He does have a way with language.
He's got a great voice, but... Yeah. It's a little odd.
Back to WGN Radio Theater with Earl Amari and Lisa Wolf.
About 8 minutes after midnight, thanks David Jennings. And this is the WGN Radio Theater, Hour 2 of Program 177. Happy Sunday, everyone. And how are you doing, Lisa Wolf?
I'm great.
Yeah?
I'm happy.
What'd you do today?
I did take a nap.
Oh,
so
good.
That was a good thing.
That's good. She won't be crabby then.
No, me.
That's good.
I won't be falling asleep in the other room, Carl.
She goes, I do that sometimes.
No.
I have to confess, sometimes, it's tough because I'm an early bird. I get up at 6 in the morning.
Yeah, me too.
Usually.
I'm an early
bird.
And
then I'm in bed by 10, 10:30, 11.
Yeah,
and
me
then
too.
We have to come here and start at 11, get off the air at 2. I'm not home till 3 o'clock, 3:15.
This actually is more on my schedule because I actually...
Yeah, you sleep till 4 in the afternoon.
No, but even on a good day, I can't go to bed before midnight.
Really?
I just don't.
Yeah, because when I send you emergency texts in the morning, you don't sometimes get back to me till 1.
Well, that's 1. Not because I'm sleeping.
Like I send her this, it's important, call me, and then I'll get a... She'll get a call from her around 2 in the afternoon.
I don't like to talk in the morning.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, I need time to wake up and
but if it's in
smell
all caps, if it's in all caps, you got to get right back
all
to
right,
me.
All right, I'll keep that in mind.
Okay, in this hour, we have Duffy's Tavern from 1944. Then in our next hour, The Saint, starring Vincent Price, all brought to you by Cat's Pride.
Dum, 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 dum. It's time for Celebrity Scoop. Brought to you by Cat's Pride. Meow.
This actor stars in the upcoming comedy Captain Underpants, the first epic movie, and it's based on the children's novel series.
Captain Underpants.
Captain Underpants. Did your kids read that? Oh, we had the whole set.
I'm trying to think.
Your kids didn't read.
I don't know.
Okay.
All right, so what do they win?
They win a Lou Malnati's gift certificate for $25.
Not bad.
The best.
312-981-7200. Here's a hint. This actor is heard here in The Hangover.
Okay. Wait. I love you. Okay. Bye.
312-981-7200. Who is that actor? We'll find out right after these words.
And we're back and playing Celebrity Scoop. Let's play it one more time.
Okay. Wait. I love you. Okay.
Bye.
Bye.
Bye. We have Tommy on the line. Hey, Tommy.
Hi, guys.
How are you?
Hi, Tommy.
Hi.
I think that is Ed Helms.
It is Ed Helms. You're absolutely right. He's one funny guy. And you are one lucky guy because you get a Lumel Nadi's gift certificate.
Is he a fun guy?
He's a funny guy.
He's like a mushroom.
Well, I don't know. About that. Oh, gosh. You have won a $25 gift certificate for Lou Malnati's. Doesn't a pizza, like,
oh,
right about
I'm
now
hungry.
Sound delicious?
Yum.
Oh,
yeah.
My gosh. Lou Malnati's is home of Chicago's best deep dish pizza, and my mouth is watering right about now. Find one of their 40-plus Chicagoland locations. You can order online at loumalnati's.com. Tommy, thank you so much for listening. We're glad you called in.
Thank you, Lisa and Carl.
Thanks,
Tommy. Appreciate you. All right, and we appreciate all of our listeners staying up late with us all the way to 2 o'clock in the morning playing your favorite classic radio shows, and we have one of the best for you right now. It's a comedy called Duffy's Tavern. If you've never heard one, you are in for a treat. It came to radio in 1940, and Duffy's Tavern was a flea-infested dive on 3rd and 23rd Streets in New York City where the elite meet to eat, and Ed Gardner played Archie the manager. He ran the tavern for Duffy because Duffy was an absentee owner, Lisa. He never showed up. He'd call in every episode and say, hey, how's things going? But he never showed up. Now, Duffy's man-hungry daughter, Miss Duffy, would be at the tavern and kind of keep her eye on things. She was originally played by Ed Gardner's wife, Shirley Booth. You know that name?
That's Hazel.
Hazel, yeah. Also, the other Duffy's daughters were Florence Hallop and Sandra Gould. Regular characters were Eddie the waiter, Clancy the cop. And then they also had guest stars. On this particular episode, the guest star is Phil Baker from the quiz show guy. So let's go back to February 22nd, 1944. Here's part one of Duffy's Tavern.
You're invited to drop in where the elite meet to eat. Duffy's Tavern.
Where do you leave me to eat? Archie, the manager, speaking. Duffy ain't here. Hello, Duffy. Tonight, Phil Baker. Phil Baker from the Take It or Leave It, you know, the guy with them fountain pens. Huh? No, not one of the ink spots. No, this is the guy that runs it. You know the program. They ask you who wrote the Wuthering Heights, you know? So you say David Copperfield. And they give you $64 for that. Yeah. Who pays the $64? Baker does. Yeah. You see, it's a bribe, so the people will stand there while he tells them crummy jokes. No, he don't only tell jokes. He plays the accordion, too. Yeah, that usually gets him more laughs than the jokes. Well, anyways, I'm going to try to win that $64 tonight, Duffy. Huh? Why can't I? Because I'm a what? Well, Duffy, it takes a jerk to recognize a jerk. Pleased to meet you, too. I'll call you back. Goodbye. Now, you see, Eddie, I win the $64 from Phil Baker. I buy two $50 war bonds, and the other $28 I play around with pen money.
I know that this man counts chickens before they hatch. He counts them before he can count. What makes you so sure you're going to win that $64?
Well, listen, I heard that program. It'd take an awful dope to miss them questions.
I think you could make it.
Of course, I'm a little rusty on some of me facts. You know, after all, it wasn't yesterday when I went to college.
Wasn't the day before yesterday, neither.
Do you mean that I never went to college?
That's what I mean.
How about high school?
Uh-uh.
Junior high?
Uh-uh.
The education is disappearing before me very eyes.
Now, Mr. Archie, not having an education is nothing to be ashamed of. Why let it bother you? You've got a lot of other things to be ashamed of.
But education ain't one of them. Ask me any question.
Okay. How many states is there in the United States?
How many states? Quite a few.
How many states?
They used to be colonies, you know.
How many states?
All right, wise guy, how many are there?
48.
Right. But, mind you, that is only since Alaska seceded into the Union.
your skies need an extra mind in this discussion.
Why, no, not at all, Finnegan. Come on in. Eddie and me just agreed that the United States has 48 states. Can you name them, Finnegan?
Not quite all of them, Arch.
How many can you name?
Three.
Which ones?
New York, New Haven, and Hartford.
Finnegan, there's others beside them.
Huh?
You know, not many right around here, but you go out west and the country is full of states.
Do tell.
Hmm.
So, Arch, you must have a mental brain to know them things.
No more mental than yours. You see, basically, Finnegan, you got the same number of gray matters as I have.
Oh, that's very nice to you, Arch, but you'll be surprised to learn that many people get the impression that I'm a dope.
Well, you know, Finnegan, some people is easily impressed. But don't forget, we was all born with the same brains. It's like Lincoln said, some of the peoples is fooled some of the time, and others is fooled utter at a time. But some of the fools, and Lincoln was a smart man.
I don't recall him saying that.
Lincoln don't remember saying it either.
What Lincoln meant, Finnegan, is that all brains is the same, you see? The human brain, or as it is sometimes called, the cranium, is made up of little cerebrums, you see? Or, as they are sometimes called, cells.
Hello, Arch.
Speaking of cells, look who's here, Crack Pumble Cool. The forger.
I'm no longer a forger, Arch. I am now a salesman.
A salesman, huh?
Yep, Arch, I have went straight.
Well, that's fine, Crackpot. I'm glad to hear it. What are you selling?
Oil stocks. Here's me card. CPO Tool, field representative of the Take a Chance Oil Company.
Take a Chance Oil Company. Sounds like a good, reliable firm.
Arch, as an old pal, I wouldn't let you in on this thing if it wasn't reliable.
You mean there's a chance for a little guy like me to get in on it, to become a big oil maggot?
Right.
Well, gee, thanks. Tell me, Crackpot, where is this oil well of ours? Could you confide me?
Arch, this'll surprise you. Where would you say was the largest and richest deposit of oil in the whole world?
Well, I figure down west.
Nope, you're wrong. The largest and richest deposit of oil in the whole world is at the bottom of the Great Salt Lake.
Oil at the bottom of the lake? Now, wait a minute, Crackpot. How are you going to drill through the water?
How are you going to drill? That's the big secret, Arch. We wait until wintertime when the lake freezes over.
Oh, good idea.
Yeah, the idea originated with our president and founder, Mr. H.G. McGonagall.
McGonagall, hmm?
Yeah, you remember him, Arch. Slippery McGonagall. He was me roomie in Sing Sing.
Oh, the con man?
Yeah.
Oh, and he's the president of the company.
Yeah.
Is that so? I'm glad the guy got a break. Well, tell me, Crackpot, how much of this stock can I get?
Well, how much dough do you want to put in?
Well, I don't know. Maybe $32 or $64. I'll leave you no later.
Well, can you let me have a deposit now, say about $5?
$5. Hmm.
What's the matter, Arch?
Well, you see, now that there is actual cash involved,
Well, what's bothering you?
McGonagall. Not that I got anything against Sing Sing, mind you, but I wish that you had met McGonagall someplace else.
Arch, I don't think that's very kind of you. After all, I am a crook, too.
Crackpot, I don't like to hurt your feelings, but after all, you know, McGonagall, you, Sing Sing, makes a person think that maybe, who knows, there ain't even any oil in the bottom of the Great Salt Lake.
You don't have to take our word for it, Arch. I have here a geologist's report.
Did you, by any chance, have a room with this geologist?
Arch, I swear he was a perfect stranger. The biggest geologist in New York. Let me read you what he says. We have investigated the claims of the Take a Chance Oil Company, and our findings are as follows. The existence of petroleum in the bottom of the Great Salt Lake is a fallacious supposition which is scientifically inconceivable.
Well, I'm sorry, Crackpot. I owe you an apology. This puts a whole new light on the thing.
Okay, Arch. Now, if you'll let me have the $5 deposit, I'll hold the stock till you get the rest of the dough.
$5. Now, just a second.
All right, that's the first portion of Duffy's Tavern, starring Ed Archie Gardner, along with special guest Phil Baker from the $64 question. And we'll get back to it in just a few minutes here on the greatest radio station on the planet, WGN. What, Lisa?
You know, somebody just texted in that Miss Duffy also played Gladys Kravitz.
Yeah, she did.
And Gladys
Sandra Gould.
Yep, Gladys was one of the funniest characters
ever. Oh, she was
ever.
Great. She was great. You're talking about
you.
Bewitched.
Yes.
On Bewitched.
Yes. Yeah, Gladys was great.
Remember her?
Yeah, the neighbor.
Mrs. Kravitz.
Yeah, she was always seeing
everything.
Trying to,
she saw
the magic.
Yeah.
And then whenever she'd bring her husband over,
it would be gone
already.
Gladys, what's wrong
with you?
It'd
be gone already.
Yeah.
She was good. Well, thank you for letting us
know
that.
That was such a funny series, Bewitched, wasn't it?
I miss it just talking about
Bewitched
it.
I think Bewitched was even better than I Dream a Genie, and I loved I Dream a Genie.
I used to
love to stay home from school and watch I Dream
a
Genie.
I mostly love Dick Van Dyke. That was my favorite. That was probably my A number one.
Better than Bewitched?
Yeah, Dick Van Dyke.
Wow, all right.
Yeah, that was
Let's take a quick break. Then it's more on the WGN Radio Theater. I want to remind all of our listeners that we have a website that if you go to it right now, you can sign up. It's absolutely free, and you'll get an email from me every Monday with a classic radio show embedded in it. And not only do you get the classic radio show, there's a picture of whoever is in that classic radio show in the email. And then there's also a synopsis and the original broadcast date. There's other fun stuff. There's specials on some of the CD and DVD and digital download collections we have. It's an email we send out to, there's actually thousands of people that have signed up to this, Lisa, thousands. Just go to freeradioclassics.com. That's the website, freeradioclassics.com. Put your name and your email address, and then on Monday, you'll get your first email, right?
Right.
You get it.
Of course I do.
I think Shante gets it, right, Shante? You get it, right? And then I know Roger gets it. Roger's up there.
Sure do. Love it.
Yeah. I'm trying to think. What did we send out last week? Trying to remember.
Roger, what was
it? I think it was Counter Spy. Wasn't it David Harding Counter Spy?
No, I don't think so.
Yeah.
It was a spy one.
I think it was David Harding Counter Spy.
And I'll tell you because
I think
I can tell you right now.
All right.
It was. I have it right here.
Mm-hmm. Was that the week before?
Maybe it was.
No,
yeah.
It was Fibber McGee and Molly.
This week was Fibber McGee and Molly. Right. Yeah.
Because I don't really listen to the spy ones, but I listened to it, so I knew it wasn't that.
All right, so last Monday was Fibber McGee and Molly.
Yeah.
So it's a surprise. Every Monday you get your email by just going to freeradioclassics.com. Might as well do it right now.
Right now.
Right?
Back to WGN Radio Theater with Earl Amari and Lisa Wolf.
All right, Lisa Wolf. I think not this coming week, but the week after is the Radio Hall of Fame here, right?
That's on May 25th.
Radio Hall of Fame. That ought to be great, right?
Yeah, well, we will be there supporting our own Nick DiGilio and Judy Pilak.
Yeah.
We will be there to support them. And it's always nice to be with the WGN team.
That is quite an honor. And Nick and Judy both greatly deserve it. And we wish them the best and congratulations. And we can't wait to come out and support you for that.
Yeah, we'll be there to cheer
them on. It's like
on
a Thursday?
It's a Thursday, Thursday morning.
I hope our listeners will come out because I think, you know.
From 10 to 12, it's at Plymouth Court, which is right here, right outside our window here. And then,
great.
Yeah, and we have a little reception afterwards.
Very, very nice and well-deserved. It'll be a lot of fun. I didn't get to go. I think last year I was traveling, but I was at the year before.
Right.
So looking forward to it. All right. It's time now for the conclusion to this broadcast from February 22nd, 1944. Ed Gardner with special guest Phil Baker of Take It or Leave It fame. Here's the conclusion to Duffy's Tavern.
Well, Arch, what about the $5 deposit?
Well, Crackpot, I've been trying to think where to get it, but the... Wait a minute. There's one place I ain't tried. Of course, I can get it from Duffy. Thank you very much, Duffy.
Hey, Arch, won't Duffy get sore?
No, he'll be glad he lent it to me. Besides, I won't tell him.
Supposing he finds out?
Ah, how could he ever find out? Hello, Duffy. You had a premonition, huh? Well, look, nobody has been near the cash register except me. That was your premonition, huh? Duffy, do you know that that is tantamount to calling me a crook? Now, listen, Duffy, if you think that I'm a crook, why don't you come right out? Look, can't you wait until I'm finished? Ah, shut up. That dirty Duffy accusing me of taking his money. Here's the $5, Crackpot. And as soon as I win the $64 from Phil Baker, I'll give you the rest.
Okay, Arch. I'll be back for the balance later.
Oh, boy. Oil. Oil. Golden liquid petroleum.
Yeah. Oil, oil, and you is over the barrel. Miss Arch, you must be crazy thinking you can find oil in the bottom of the lake.
And why, pray?
Praying is the only way you'll get that petroleum.
Look, let's not talk about it now, Eddie. Here comes Phil Baker. Hello, Phil.
Hello, Archie. Sorry I'm late. I had trouble finding the place.
You did? Well, you didn't have no trouble the last time.
I know, but this time I've got a cold in my nose.
Insults, insults. Everybody comes in here, talks about the smell, about the crummy people.
Archie, I didn't say anything about the people.
Well, take a look at them crumbs.
I see what you
ain't
mean.
Blind. And you forget the good things about the joint. You know, this place is consistent. You take them fancy places like the Stork Club and the Copra Cabroma. One day the food is good and the next day it's bad. Here you know what to expect. That's why Duffy's will always be famous. The last word in food.
Yep. Famous last words.
Right. Another thing, you can trust Duffy's menu. You know, you go to them high-class places, you order a hamburger. What did he do? They call it the tout de chaud fromage.
Fromage, Archie, that's cheese.
See, and you ordered a hamburger.
So, Mr. Baker.
Yes?
The 1492 and 1812.
What's that?
Two answers. You think of the questions.
Why is it people like that always look like that?
I don't know, Phil. I guess it's just for appearance's sake. Look, Phil, how's about starting with the take it or leave it quiz, huh?
No, Archie, not on my night off. I thought we'd relax tonight and have some fun. That's why I brought my accordion.
Hmm, yeah. Your accordion. I was afraid of that. Look, Phil... Please, don't put it on, Phil. Phil, you're going to hurt your shoulders with that thing. The people here don't like music too much.
Oh, they'll enjoy this, Archie. In addition to playing the accordion, I'll also tell jokes.
Baker, two wrongs don't make a right.
Look, Archie, no accordion, no quiz.
No quiz, no oil well.
Any particular song you'd like to hear?
Well, there is a song that I wrote.
You mean you want me to play that horrible Let Us Face It?
Make it. The song you are referring to happens to be that horrible Leave Us Face It.
Okay. But after this, I'll have the only accordion in the world with ulcers. All right, here we go. Let Us Face It.
What a horrible sound.
Hey, Arch, how does he keep that accordion from pinching his stomach?
says that he does. Them sounds can all come out of the accordion.
Whoever sings this thing, they'll be wearing Bobby socks at half mast.
This is the Phantom of the Salmagi Opera. It proves one thing, you can't play a silk purse on a sow's ear.
You know, I can see the composer of this song turning over in his grave.
Turning over in his grave. Baker, I am the composer.
Well, I can dream, can't I?
You see, Eddie, the guy is physically handicapped. He's only got 5 fingers on each hand.
I'm physically handicapped, too. I can hear every note.
Baker, please, do you have to squeeze so hard?
Pardon me, Arch, I was just thinking of your throat. Brother, this is the poor man's Mersey Dose. Well, how'd you like it, Archie?
Enough said, the better. On the other hand, what did you think of my song?
Well, strictly tout de chaux fromage.
Oh, turning the other cheek, huh? Well, leave us get on with the quiz. Now, ladies and gentlemen, we present that famous quiz program, Take It or Leave It, conducted with Phil Baker. Mr. Baker, pray down the podium.
And now our first contestant of the evening is Archie. Okay, Archie, what is your category?
Would you mind to repeat that?
I said, what is your category?
Oh, I'm the manager here.
That's right, for $1.
For a second, I thought I didn't know what a category was. Well, Phil, so far I'm not as dumb as you thought I was going to be.
I still have confidence in you, and...
Thank you.
Now, for $4, what invention was known as Fulton's Folly?
The fish market.
No.
Oh.
Fulton's Folly.
The radiator?
You're getting warm. Now turn on the steam, Archie. Steam.
Steam.
Archie, steam.
Well, why are you complaining to me? Why don't you complain to the landlord?
I'm giving you a hint, Archie. Fulton. Steam.
Let's see. Steam. Clams. Steam baths. Shovels. Boats.
Right.
Which one?
Fulton invented the steamboat.
He did. He did. Of course he did. Exactly. More credit.
It's amazing how his ears stay apart. Okay, Archie, do you want to go for $8?
Okay, $8.
Right. For $8. Who's buried in Grant's tomb? No help, please.
Who's buried in Grant's tomb? Baker, that's insulting. I don't want the money that way. Who's buried in Grant's tomb? That's an insult. Give me a real question.
Okay, you asked for it. Name the tributary branches of the Mississippi River.
General Grant, I accept the insult. Now, what is the next question?
All right, for $16. What was the name of the beautiful princess who was befriended by the 7 dwarfs?
7 dwarfs. These little dwarfs or big dwarfs?
Oh, just normal dwarfs.
Normal dwarfs. A princess and 7 dwarfs.
Snow White.
I got it. Wow.
All right, Archie. I'll give you $16 for recognizing the tune. Now, you've got $16. Do you want to go for 32?
Oh, Baker, if you was me, would you quit?
If I was you, I wouldn't have the brains to quit. Now, for $32, what race of people sold Manhattan Island to the Dutch for $24?
Manhattan Island are what race of people are.
Quiet! Quiet, will you? How can a guy concentrate when you all act like a bunch of Indians?
Indians is correct, sir. You win $32. Now,
this is amazing.
Would you like to go for the $64 question?
Well, it's up to you. You think I should?
Why not?
Well, I'm hot tonight. You'll be sorry.
Okay, Archie, for $64, where is the largest and richest oil deposit in the United States?
Oh, boy. Right up the alley. Baker, the largest and richest oil deposit in the United States is at the bottom of the Great Salt Lake.
Archie, there's as much oil in the Great Salt Lake as there's brains in your head.
I've been swindled.
Sorry, Archie.
Oh, that dirty crackpot O'Toole. Once a forger, always a crook. Crackpot. Crackpot,
okay.
Come in.
Okay, Archie, I'm sorry. I confess, I tried to clip you and I'm ashamed. I should have never got into this bracket.
Yep, crackpot, you was a much honester guy when you was a forger.
You're right. And I think I'll go back to forging. And Archie, I'm going to see that you get back not only your $5 deposit, but also the $64 you are lost on account of my crookedness.
I'm going to give me your $64. Oh, well, gee, that's nice of you, crackpot.
I'm glad to do it, Arch. Mr. Baker, could I borrow your fountain pen?
Crackpot! The checkbook! Take it away!
That is Duffy's Tavern, a broadcast going back to February 22nd, 1944. Ed Gardner along with a special guest, Phil Baker from Take It or Leave It. And he was quizzing Archie there. And who's buried in Grant's tomb, Lisa?
Right.
That was one of the questions. I think, I'm trying to think.
Tough
who was,
question.
That is a tough one.
Yeah,
I don't know.
Let me
consult my, what is it? Siri. I'll consult my Siri. Huh?
Oh, good one.
Really?
Very technological there.
All right, let's take a quick break. Then it's more here on the WGN Radio Theater. All right. See what I got here, Lisa?
That's Remind Magazine, and what a cover that is with Florence Henderson.
Look how young she
mom.
Is here. People that are watching us on WGN.com, is that what it is?
It's WGNRadio.com.
WGNRadio.com. There are a lot of people that watch us do this show on their computer. And my mom and my sister watch it.
Your computer, any device.
Yeah. But look at this. I'm going to hold it up to the camera. See this? Remind Magazine. This is a great magazine. I'm very proud of it, and I'm very proud of the fact that they have asked me to write for it.
Well, I'm proud
honored.
Then, too, Carl.
I'm really honored. And I write a, in this particular issue, it was all about suburbia. So I wrote about Fibber McGee and Molly. But this is a great magazine, folks. It comes out every single month. It's called Remind Magazine. There's puzzles. There's trivia. There's comics. There's posters. It talks all about classic movies and classic television shows. Oh, look at this. There's a picture of a Breakfast Club right there.
Do you hang posters on your ceiling?
You can. There's posters in here. Do I?
Do you hang posters in your room?
I don't have any posters in my room, no. But I used to as a kid.
Like Farrah Fawcett I had the Farrah Cheryl Fawcett. Teagues.
Well, no, I liked Farrah Fawcett.
Okay, I'm pretty sure my brother had both of those.
Yeah. Look at that. Ricky Nelson. Full color poster of Ricky Nelson. But this magazine is it's super cool because it's all about nostalgia and the things that we all like. People are listening to the show and they like nostalgia, classic radio. I write an article every issue about a Hollywood celebrity, but I tie it into their radio work. So, for instance, Fibber McGee and Molly, that's an easy one. They were on radio. But like last month, it was about Elizabeth Taylor, and I talked about her radio work. But this magazine is available. It's called Remind, available at all Barnes & Noble stores and all Walmart stores across the country. So if you're shopping at Barnes & Noble, just go to the entertainment section and take a peek of Remind magazine. Or the easiest way to get it is to go to their website. They've set up a website for all of our listeners, and you can go to remindmagazine.com. And if you want to order a subscription to this, you can save about 60% off the newsstand price. So it's a great deal if you go to remindmagazine.com. You get this, right, Lisa?
What?
You get this? She wasn't listening to me.
I do get that, but I wasn't listening.
You and Mike get this, and I get it. I love when it comes in the mail.
I do. It's
fun. I like getting stuff in the mail.
Like bills?
Yeah, no, not bills.
Oh, I thought you liked
no,
that.
No, I don't like it. I don't like to get bills.
Okay.
But
that's all we get.
Really?
We just bill.
Well... Well, you have a fleet of cars. You have
we
probably
pay for them all each month.
Pay for those cars.
Yeah.
But look at Florence Henderson.
Oh,
what a cutie. And on the back is Doris Day.
Oh, sure.
There's Doris Day with Please Don't Eat the Daisies. So that was a movie she did with David Niven. And then I guess they made the television series based on this movie, I'm guessing, because the movie came out in 1950. And then Please Don't Eat the Daisies. Do you remember watching that show on television?
No,
I do.
I do not.
Yeah, I remember watching it.
Well, you're like way older than I am.
Yeah, a whole 8 months.
You're confused.
Listen, I'm August and you're what?
See, that's
October.
What I'm saying.
You're October.
Are you sure about that?
Yeah, you're October. Are you October 13th?
I'm not.
What are you? October
I'm
what?
I'm not going to tell you.
16?
No, I am not.
October 14th?
You know what? I'm done with this conversation.
I am about 8 months older than you.
You're demented.
What do you mean demented?
I need to remind you.
Before, do we have any more commercials before break or no? No? Okay, we can talk up to the top. All right, we got a couple more minutes. I do want to remind all of our listeners to get their picture in of your kitty cat. Don't forget that because, you know, the end of the month rolls around pretty quick, and then Dan Jaffe is here, and he gives away a year's supply of Cat's Pride kitty litter. And I know folks are probably like, ah, shoot, I didn't get my picture in.
Careful, watch your language.
I shoot your eye out. Remember that movie? That's one of my favorite movies.
Yeah, we don't
I watch
agree
it every
on that
year.
Kind of
well,
thing.
You never saw it.
What?
A Christmas Story.
Oh, Christmas
You've never
story.
Seen it.
No, I'm sorry.
But
I know you can stay in the house now.
What's that?
The Christmas Story house in Indiana. You can now book a night in the home.
The home that they shot
yes.
in?
Yes.
Really?
Yeah, I saw the notice a couple of days ago that they are now accepting overnight guests.
Let's see if you, Roger will probably know this. What was the name of the guy who wrote it and narrates
that? Gosh.
You
got me on that one. Yes,
he
does.
Who wrote it. And he also wrote the book in God... I trust all others pay cash.
Yeah.
And God, I trust all others pay cash.
And
he was a big radio guy. Big radio guy.
But that was a while back.
Yeah, it was a while. It was before. Yeah. It was before.
But I remember seeing.
It was before my time, but not yours.
Hello. By the way, please don't eat the daisies, please. That's the theme song.
Yeah. All right. So the guy who wrote that movie and narrates that movie is Gene Shepherd. Ring a bell? Roger?
There's an awkward silence.
There's a lot of things ringing in my head right now, but
doesn't ring
but
a bell.
It does from the movie, yes.
You know what? His
it does from the movie.
His delivery as the narrator on that movie and
oh, it's his story.
Yeah, it's his story, right. Yeah, just fantastic. All right. Yeah. Well, thanks Roger. Appreciate that. You can actually stay, Lisa,
thanks.
In the Christmas Story house. That's great. Cool. I would do that for sure. That'd be great.
Back to WGN Radio Theater with Earl Amari and Lisa Wolf.
All right. It's 1:06 in the morning. Thank you, Roger. This is hour three of the WGN Radio Theater program, 177 in the series. Our producer, Shantae Garth, and to my right, the vivacious, effervescent, and very bubbly Lisa Wolf. What's up, Lisa?
Hey, Carl. I'm still here. 1:06 a.m. and we're still going strong here.
Did you like Duffy's Tavern?
I love Duffy's Tavern.
And did you like The Shadow?
I do like The Shadow.
Yeah, you like the mysteries.
I do.
Because you are a mystery.
Well, you know, all women are for you.
Yeah, that's for sure.
I know.
Coming up this hour, it's The Saint, brought to you by Cat's Pride.
Dum, dum. Celebrity Scoop, brought to you by Cat's Pride. Meow.
This actor stars as Dr. Henry Jekyll in the upcoming horror film The Mummy, a reboot of the Mummy franchise.
Oh, yeah. I think Tom Cruise is in that, too. He's the he's like the Brendan Fraser role.
Yeah, that's not the
person I know.
We're looking
for. No, I know
just
that.
Just making sure we're clear.
All right. So.
And the winner gets a Twilight Zone 4 CD set.
Wow, very good. All right. The number to call, 312-981-7200. Here's a hint. He starred in Gladiator.
My name is Maximus Decimus Meridius, commander of the armies of the North, general of the Felix Legions.
I love this movie. Boy, I tell you, this is one great movie. One Best Picture, I believe. Yeah, pretty sure. And he won, I think, Best Actor for this. 312-981-7200. Who is that actor? We'll find our winner after these words.
We're back. We're playing Celebrity Scoop. Let's play it again.
My name is Maximus Decimus Meridius, commander of the armies of the North, general of the Felix Legions.
Kind of sounds like me, right, Lisa?
Yeah.
Maximus Milius Stilius Smicius.
That's pretty close. Let's talk to Marty. Maybe he can shed some light on the situation. Yeah. Hey, Marty.
Hey, how are you guys?
We're good. How are you?
Oh, doing very well tonight. Thank
good,
you.
Good to hear from you. Who was that actor?
I believe that was Mr. Russell Crowe.
That is Mr. Russell Crowe, and he did win Best
Actor
for the movie. And I think you are right, Carl. I think the movie did win Best Picture.
Shanta, could you record what she just said?
No, specifically.
Carl, I think you are right.
I said, I think.
I like that. I want to put that on my phone.
It's very rare.
When
it happens
rings.
Now and then. So
Marty, what do you think? When
I'm gonna...
somebody calls me instead of a ring, it'll be like, Carl, you are right. Carl, you are right.
You know, he's not usually right, so he's going to gloat on this one. Marty, but you are a winner, whether he's right or wrong. And you've won the Twilight Zone 4 CD set. It's hosted by Stacy Keach. He's fantastic. And it has so many wonderful actors in it, so many wonderful actors right here in Chicago. So we hope that you enjoy that. And of course, Carl, you know, did the little job of producing those Twilight Zones. So we appreciate his hard work as
enjoy
well.
Enjoy that, Marty. Hope you enjoy the CDs.
Well.
Take care.
Thank you, sir.
Thank you
All
very
right,
much.
Buddy. Thank you. All right. Well, it is 11... What is it?
11.
It's
no,
a
it's
one.
It's a
11.
One.
I'm like, there's all these ones. 1, 1, 1.
Need it's, some little, you know, glasses now and then.
I think you're in that age range. Getting old, Lisa.
You need a little magnification.
The good thing about it, this radio show, you know, you don't really have to exert yourself. You just sit here. So I could probably do this into my 90s.
Well, here's the thing. It's not physically exhausting, but, you know, you're really on for 3 hours.
Yeah, right.
Like in your brain anyways.
But I think if WGN would allow us to, we could do this into our 90s.
I'm with you.
And so that for you, it's a couple of years from now.
Right. I'm almost there, but I got about a year or two to go.
I would have like 40-something, 50-something more years.
Yeah,
that
would be fun to listen to.
So maybe we'll be on the air for another 50 years. Well, that'd be great.
From your lips, Carl.
All right.
Okay.
So it's time for The Saint. It was a detective series created by Leslie Charteris, and in the movies, George Sanders played the great Saint. And his brother, this is interesting, George Sanders' brother, Tom Conway, they had different last names, was radio's first Saint. So his brother was playing him in the movie, and then Tom Conway said, hey, I'll play him on the radio. See, now he was British, Tom Conway. So that kind of made sense. But for some strange reason, about a year later, Vincent Price was cast as the Saint. He was billed as the Robin Hood of modern crime. And Lawrence Dobkin was Louis, his Brooklyn cab driver, set in New York. And it was on radio from 1947 all the way to 1951. Of course, a very, very popular Saint television series starred Roger Moore. But we have a radio episode now from September 18th, 1949. It's called A Schizophrenic Psychiatrist. And this stars Vincent Price. Here's part one of The Saint.
The Adventures of The Saint, starring Vincent Price. Based on characters created by Leslie Charteris and known to millions from books, magazines, and motion pictures. The Robin Hood of modern crime now comes to radio, starring Hollywood's brilliant and talented actor Vincent Price as the Saint.
Well, hello.
Who is... Oh.
How is my favorite shipboard acquaintance this evening?
Oh, Simon, you startled me. I can hardly see you through the fog here on deck.
Oh, yes, it is getting thicker, isn't it? But I suppose it's to be expected. Last night, nature went on a binge of moonshine, and this is her foggy morning after.
Oh. Only it's evening.
How can you tell through the fog? But you know, you have a very pretty laugh, Barbara. I'll listen for it in all of your pictures from now on.
Thank you, Simon. But I'm not going to make any more pictures. I'm retiring.
Retiring? At the peak of your career?
I'm just tired of pictures, that's all.
Barbara, you'll never be able to run away from it.
What do you mean?
I'm referring to whatever it is that frightens you. Why don't you tell me about it, Barbara?
There's nothing to tell. I'm tired. I need a rest. Please, Simon, don't make me talk about it. There are some things that... Simon, is that someone standing there?
No. No, I don't see anyone. Oh, you are nervous.
Simon, if only I could confide in someone, if I could tell you what I...
Perhaps I already know more than you think I do. You're cold.
Yes,
where's your wrap?
It's over there someplace in one of those deck chairs.
I'll find it. I don't see it here, Barbara. Are you sure you... Barbara, behind you! Look out! Barbara! Barbara! Man overboard! Man overboard!
Maybe you'd like a swim too, Saint.
What?
Mr. Templar.
Oh, hello. I suppose the usual question is, where am I?
Sometimes they awaken from your type of custom-made coma asking, who am I?
Evidently, I wasn't hit quite that hard. I even remember who you are, Dr. Norman. It is Dr. Norman, the celebrated psychiatrist, isn't it?
Yeah, that is very good, Templar, but I'm afraid I must still confine you here to the ship's infirmary for a while.
Huh?
Possible concussion, you know.
Say, tell me, what makes a famous neurologist like you pose as a mere ship's doctor?
Oh, I'm really not posing. Partridge, the ship's physician, is ill.
Oh.
I was within earshot when I heard the familiar call, "Is there a doctor in the house?" And, no, Simon, don't try to get up. I have a flask here. If a drink will make you happy.
Oh, not right now, thank you. As I recall, I have some unfinished business to attend to.
Barbara?
Yes. Was she?
They couldn't find her in the fog. She's gone.
Poor Barbara.
Yes, it was a horrible accident.
Horrible, yes. Accident, no.
You mean to say she didn't fall overboard?
She was murdered.
Murdered? But who?
I think I know who. Ooh, my head. It feels like the Aberdeen Proving Ground.
Yes, I will mix you a sedative. You know, you're not looking very well.
I always look like this when I'm angry. There's only one cure.
Yes, I know. The lady with the scales, known as Madame Justice. You know, Templar, I've been curious about what makes a man like you tick.
Well, I'll tell you. Every 8 days or so, someone winds me up. Right now, I'm wound up tight. Tight with fury.
Well, as a psychiatrist, I would advise you to unwind a bit. Here we are. Now, drink this. It will put you to sleep after a while.
Thank you.
You say you think you know who killed Barbara, Simon.
I was wrong. I do know.
Well, I think you ought to talk to me. Unwind yourself.
You think I need psychiatry, Doctor?
Well, I think you're too taut at the moment. That plus your concussion, it might be dangerous.
Very well, Doctor. I'll unwind. I'll tell you the entire story.
If you don't mind, Simon, here, this will help the rhythm.
Huh?
It's a metronome. Psychiatrists often use them. But,
No, I don't mind. I'd never met Barbara Brooks, although I doubt if there's a human being alive who hasn't heard of her or seen her in the movies. I first saw her the day we boarded ship. There was something in her expression, in the way she walked and talked and smiled, that immediately told me here was someone I should know. Her entire demeanor was an attitude of invitation.
a romance.
Here, Doctor. She was a frightened lady. She wanted someone near her. I walked over to her there on deck and immediately made myself useful. Her steward evidently had become busy elsewhere, so I tipped my hat and said somewhat idiotically, get your program here, lady. You can't tell the staterooms without the numbers.
I beg your pardon.
Your steward seems to have deserted you. Oh. I've sailed this scow before, so if it's the direction to your stateroom you're looking
well,
for...
Well, I would like to know.
I would, too. Number, please.
A36 Main Deck.
Thank you very, very much. It's this way. My name's Templar. Simon, for short. And, of course, you're Barbara Brooks. You know, we passed the bar en route to A36 Main Deck. Does an old-fashioned with a new acquaintance sound inviting?
It will, a little later after... He's here on the ship.
Ooh, there are several... I see.
He's gone now. He's in the corner.
Yeah, I think I saw the man you meant. Certain off-center gentleman named Rader.
Rader? I don't know that name.
No, surely you've heard of Phil Rader. He's just as big a star in his line of work as you are in yours.
What is his line of work?
Well, he's an exterminator of human beings.
Mr. Templar, I'm afraid.
Well, that was obvious from the moment I first saw you. Why don't you tell me about it?
Oh, no, I can't. No, I'd be killed.
As good a reason as any for not telling me, but I must warn you, I have a peculiar talent for finding things out for myself.
Oh, no, you mustn't do anything. Please, please.
Hello, Rader.
Well, Miss Saint.
Mm-hmm.
World's getting smaller.
Yes. Yes, but I understand you're doing your share to see that it doesn't get overcrowded. Traveling for your health again, or just traveling?
Just traveling.
Rader, why does the mere glimpse of you rounding a corner start a lady's teeth to chattering?
Lady? I don't know any ladies.
Obviously.
Maybe she thought I was someone else.
Maybe. And if you're of a mind to annoy her, you'll wish you were.
Look, Saint, just soak up sunshine on this cruise. Don't go poking in any dark places. Might be bad for you.
Oh, what sort of bad, Rader?
Look, big shot, just so there's no misunderstanding. You butt in where you ain't welcome on this cruise and...
Yes?
And I'll kill you.
How is your head, Sam?
And it feels as if a regimental crap game was going on inside of it with jet-propelled dice.
You haven't drunk your sedative yet. Here.
Oh, thank you. Shall I go on taking the load off of my concussion?
Yes, by all means. I think I was present at the next sequence.
Yes, Doctor, you were. It was the night of that ridiculous costume ball ship's captains are so fond of arranging.
Yes. I remember we were at the bar together. You were a pirate, I recall.
Yes, and you were a clown. The ball was loaded with clowns, some of them not even aware of their clownishness. But it was gay and sprightly, and the music was good. I remember our conversation, Doctor. You suddenly appeared at my elbow and said in the most shivery, sinister manner...
You know, Templar, I have a confession to make to you.
Well, I'm always interested in confessions, Doctor.
I've had a schoolboy crush on the beautiful Barbara ever since I saw her in pictures first. Tell me, what does one do about it?
Well, I know exactly what I would do if I were you, Doctor.
Yes.
I'd consult the nearest psychiatrist.
At the prices we charge, no thanks. I was hoping you'd cut a fellow in on your acquaintanceship, Templar. But if you won't introduce me, won't you at least show me which mask she's hiding under? I think I might be able to make my own introduction.
Oh, very well, Doctor. Look for a sylph-like figure in a blue and yellow harlequin costume.
Thank you, Templar, thank you. And if you should ever need a good psychiatrist...
At the prices you charge?
I will be seeing you.
Don't turn around, huh? Mr. Templar. I have a pistol in the small of your back.
Well, now, really, is that any way to enjoy a war?
Listen, Saint, and listen hard.
Oh, I'm all ears, except for the small of my back, which feels abnormally large at the moment.
Certain arrangements have been made, Saint. It means a big head of lettuce if they go through.
So?
All the signs say, keep out. See that you do. Now, don't turn around. This costume's so pretty, I'd hate to have to put a hole through my pocket.
Well, it's probably just a coincidence, but I've acquired the same regard for the small of my back.
Keep regarding it that way, Saint. Don't let your nose wander where it doesn't belong. And you might begin by forgetting you saw certain people aboard this boat.
See, just tell me how you're going to swing it, Mrs. Miller. Well, don't be surprised. I'd recognize the notorious Lil Miller's voice on a party line. How are you going to take him, Lil? A palm base or perhaps a marked deck?
This rod has a hair trigger, Saint. Just a touch and you're...
Lil, what's the matter?
That girl there, the one in the hall.
Lil.
You're lucky, Saint. I'd have shot.
Give her air. Don't crowd.
Crowd her all you want to. She won't mind now.
Is she?
Yes, a stiletto in the back leaves very little doubt. She's dead.
That could ruin your whole day. Stiletto in the back? Oh,
bad stuff, huh?
Gosh, I've had stilettos thrown at me,
but
none of them have ever stuck in my back.
That's too bad.
Yeah, I've had a lot of stuff thrown at me over the years.
I would guess that to be the case.
September 18th, 1949, that's the original broadcast date of this episode of The Saint, starring Vincent Price. We'll get back to it in just a few minutes here on the WGN Radio Theater, so stick around.
Back to WGN Radio Theater with Earl Amari and Lisa Wolf.
Starting to get this piano thing down here, huh? Oh, hang on. There. Nice, right?
You're great.
Like that?
Yes. You are multi-talented over there.
Yeah, I know.
What are you going to do?
I was born that way.
I know. You and Lady Gaga were born that way.
Me and Gaga. She's very talented.
She is.
You really got to take your hat off to her. That woman can act. She can sing.
She can
dance. She can play instruments. And she's got a great voice. She's really very talented.
She is something
very,
else.
Very, very,
I agree
talented.
With you.
She was living here for a little while because she was dating the lead guy from Chicago Fire.
I don't know.
Yeah, Taylor Kinney for a while.
She was?
Yeah, she was dating
him.
I
didn't know that.
I don't think they're dating anymore.
It's hard to keep up on everyone's love life. I'll just stick with yours.
But, you know, he lives here because they're shooting the show, and when he was here, she was here. Yeah. Used to see
Did you happen to run into her?
I didn't,
Jewel
but,
or something?
I didn't, but I had heard that they were around town a lot, you know?
Well, they did that polar plunge
that's
a couple
right.
years back.
They did.
Yes.
Yeah. Polar plunge, yeah. That's right. That's right, Roger. Were you there too? Did you do that?
I was living vicariously through you.
Through them.
Well.
Not me, because I would not be doing that.
I would not be doing that either.
No way, Jose. I don't like cold water. No.
I don't like cold.
Yeah,
I don't like being cold.
Yeah, I know. All right, well, Vincent Price didn't like the cold water either, you know? He was the star of this Saint.
Good
episode.
Segue.
They like that.
That was great.
That
yeah.
was really something.
That was
huh?
smooth, as we say.
Yeah. Well, they,
they called you smooth.
Someone called me smooth
well,
earlier.
They might be retracting that right about now.
All right. It's let's get back to this episode called "A Schizophrenic Psychiatrist on the Saint."
Simon, I would never have paid the late Mrs. Miller for a professional card sharp. She was anything but the type.
Professional card sharps are always anything but the type, Doctor.
Yeah. And to think I actually played bridge with her myself, with a crook and a hot-headed one at that.
Well, as my old grandmother used to say, Doctor, beware of lady thieves with red hair.
I guess the lady's red hair accounted for the lack of insulation in her temperament. Oh, how does your head feel, Simon?
Better, Doctor. Much better.
You still haven't touched your sedative, you know.
Oh, haven't I?
I think you'll find that it helps, Simon. Here.
Oh, thank you. Well, you know, shortly after the murder of Mrs. Miller, Doctor, I called on her bereaved husband and partner in crime. A very interesting visit it was, too.
You have the knack for making all of your visits interesting, Simon. Tell me about it.
Well, I found Miller in the bar, quenching his sorrow with the merry waters of the River of Forgetfulness.
$50,000 in the palm of our hands and beep, no more Lil. No more Lil, no more sucker. No more sucker, beep, no more $50,000.
I see you valued your wife highly. Who was the sucker, Miller?
Ha ha, you're funny.
Tell me, what's Phil Rader cruising for, Miller? And don't tell me it's a coincidence he's on board the same ship.
You get funnier and funnier.
Why is Barbara Brooks so afraid of Rader?
You ain't even warm, Saint. You're a mile wide of the target.
Well, I'd better use a different kind of ammunition then. Miller.
Yeah? Like what?
Like a little murder performed on an unwilling sucker in Reno.
Huh? What do you know about that?
You won't like going back to Reno, Miller. It gets hot in the summertime, especially in the penitentiary.
Raider was with Lil and me on this deal.
All right, Miller, put the zipper on.
Raider, I wasn't going to say anything. Phil, honest, I was just...
Skip it, Miller. I always knew someday you'd show canary yellow. I thought you and I had a little understanding, Saint.
You've got a reputation for wrong thoughts, Raider.
Yeah, but right or wrong, I back my ideas up. To the hilt, Saint.
Keep that frog sticker under cover, Raider, or I might take it away from you. And the Dutch courage that rides with it, too.
I'll keep it hidden for now. You just be careful of the places where the lights don't shine, Saint. Come on, Miller, I want to talk with you.
Well, I'll be out in a little while, Phil. I want a drink.
You're drunk enough, Canary. Come on.
You'd better go, Miller. And if you can't talk your way out of it, my regards to the fishes.
And I recall it was shortly after Mr. Raider passed on his second warning that you and I met for the first time professionally.
Yes, Doctor, the very next night.
Well, I am very surprised at you. He had warned you to stay away from Doc Plater.
Yes, Doctor, so he had. But I'm perverse by nature, and I like to poke around. I was strolling around the deck with Barbara, getting moonburned and trying desperately to get some more information.
So wonderful having you near, Simon. I feel safe.
Safe? I refuse to accept the compliment, particularly on a moonlit night at sea.
I'm referring to danger, Simon, not romance.
We're often the very same thing. I'd like to join the team, Barbara. Why don't you confide in me?
Because if I did, we'd both be dead by morning. I must go now. Good night, Simon.
Good night.
Don't turn around, Templar. I've got a...
I know. A gun pointed at the small of my back.
That's it. Now keep away from Barbara Brooks. Am I clear?
Clear enough. Anything else?
Yeah. Just so it sinks in, Saint. Take this along to remember me by.
Once again, you enter the picture, Dr. Norman. You found me there, lying on the deck, basking in moonlight.
And blood. Go on, Simon. Tell me the rest of it.
Well, after your neat job of vulcanizing me, thus saving me a trip to the ship's doctor and innumerable words of explanation, I hit upon a strategy, and my next visit found me calling in the lion's den. I tell you, you're being made a patsy, Raider. You're on the verge of being demoted back to second-class hoodlum.
I can take care of myself.
Well, I admit a minor sandbagging committed in your good name doesn't amount to much, Raider. But what if the same someone likes your name and decides to use it in other ways?
What do you mean?
I mean murder. You're a lead pipe cinch to pay for one of your own someday, Raider. But meanwhile, how would you feel getting hung for somebody else's shenanigans?
I'd be annoyed.
You sure would.
Look, I'm not rigged up with no murder, Saint. Lil meant 50 grand to us alive. That's what we figured the sucker was good for.
Well, that's a good enough reason for wanting Lil among the present instead of the late, Raider. Tell me, what was the angle? Blackmail?
Nah, nothing so crude, Saint. I sponsor the party, spot him, finger him, and oil him, and the millers squeeze him through a deck of cards.
Huh?
The guy's a sucker for good-looking dames and card games, that's all.
That sounds very uncomplicated, easy picking.
The guy ain't had the coin long enough to be smart about it.
Who's the guy?
Yeah, he makes water heaters.
Oh, the fat man with the diamonds from Passaic.
Yeah, that's the sucker.
I should have tumbled.
Looks like you did. I thought you were out for a bust-up. 50 G's a lot of money, Saint. I figured if I could scare you, it'd be insurance.
How about Barbara Brooks?
Deal me out. I'm not in on whatever the caper is there.
She saw you the day we sailed, and she got scared.
Well, maybe it's because I ain't exactly pretty.
Yeah.
But if you really want to know something, Saint, I'll tell you. I was propositioned on a stunt against that dame a few weeks before we sailed. I turned it down. A big dough, too.
A murder deal?
Yeah, big dough to bump her off. Not for me, though. Nah, she's too prominent. Too much heat on those jobs.
Who made the offer, Raider?
He wasn't exactly interested in leaving his calling card, Saint. Just a John Smith, as far as I'm concerned.
But he had a description, didn't he? Everybody has a description.
Well, sure. He was a medium-sized guy with... Hey, the lights. Who turned them off?
Get down!
Raider!
Raider! Raider! Raider, are you...
Brown. Brown tie. Blue shirt. Brown tie. Blue shirt.
Brown tie, blue shirt. Not a very harmonious color scheme, is it? Raider.
Yeah.
Thank you, Raider. At least your last earthly utterance was in the direction of good. Thank you.
Brown tie, blue shirt. What did he mean, Simon?
Well, it means that either the man for whom I search isn't a very fastidious dresser, Doctor, or else...
Or else?
Or else he's colorblind. Blue and brown just aren't worn together.
Well, no, they...
I'll take that drink now, Doctor.
Oh, and the sedative I mixed for you. Your concussion.
Later, Doctor, later.
Very well. I can see that you're going to be a very difficult patient. I hope you don't mind drinking out of another medicine glass, huh?
No, right now I prefer it.
Say when?
A little more, Doctor. That's fine. Has such a beautiful color, hasn't it, Doctor?
Yeah, hasn't it, though? Aren't you going to drink it, Simon?
In a moment, Doctor, when I finish my story.
Oh, yes, of course, the story. Barbara's murder was next.
Yes, huh? Barbara was next. But immediately before our last meeting on deck in the fog, Doctor, I found out what she was afraid of.
You did? But how?
It was easy. The steward had some keys. I had some money. The steward has enough now for that chicken ranch he's always dreamed of.
You broke into Barbara's stateroom.
Yes.
Well, what did you find, Simon?
Oh, lingerie, perfume, stockings, and some letters, Doctor. Peculiar letters.
Huh? Fan mail?
Yes. Yes, and all from the same fan. A fan she was once engaged to marry, Doctor. A fan who loved her very much and hated her in equal proportions. Who was so torn between love and hate, he had to kill her.
Ah, it's schizophrenic.
You should know.
What do you mean?
Well, you know the classifications. You're the doctor.
Oh. Drink your sedative, Simon.
A colorblind schizophrenic. I don't believe I've ever met one before, Dr. Norman. So colorblind, he mistook the green and orange harlequin costume worn by Lil Miller for the blue and yellow one worn by Barbara.
That is very interesting, Simon.
Poor Lil. If she'd come to the ball as anything but a harlequin, she'd have lived to take in $50,000.
Your sedative, Simon.
You know, you were wrong about Lil's hair, Doctor. It wasn't red. It was brown.
You said it was red.
I wanted to see if you'd agree.
Your sedative.
Yes, of course. Hand it to me, would you, Doctor? It's there alongside the drink.
Yeah.
No. No, don't try to tell them apart by their aromas, Doctor. It's obvious that they're different colors. Or can't you tell?
You find it, Saint. I'd like very much for you to drink it.
My doctor, what a pretty purple gun you're wearing. Or is it pink?
Drink up, Templar. You've hardly feel it. It's just a dash of prussic acid.
Dr. Norman, when you give a sedative, you go overboard.
Drink it, Templar.
Well, you're the doctor. A toast to you, Dr. Norman. To your green shirt, blue tie, and gray handkerchief. None of which match. Here's how.
Oh, my eyes! You threw it in my eyes!
It was a question of your eyes or my stomach, Doctor.
In my eyes, I'm blind!
You'll get over it, Doctor, which is more than can be said of me if one of those wild shots of yours should hit me. I know I shouldn't practice medicine without a license, Doctor, any more than you should. But here's a sedative from me to you. Pleasant nightmares, Dr. Norman.
You have been listening to another adventure of The Saint, the Robin Hood of modern crime. And now here is our star, Vincent Price.
Ladies and gentlemen, in a prejudice-filled America, no one would be secure in his job, his business, his church, or his home. Yet racial and religious antagonisms are exploited daily by quacks and adventurers whose followers make up the irresponsible lunatic fringe of American life. Refuse to listen to or spread rumors against any race or religion. Help to stamp out prejudice in our country. Let's judge our neighbors by the character of their lives alone.
and not on the basis of their religion or origin. This is Vincent Price inviting you to join us again next week at the same time for another exciting adventure of the saint. Good night.
By Michael Cramoy. Our cast included Betty Lou Gerson, Gene Bates, Frank Gerstle, Bill Conrad, and Barney Phillips. The music was composed and conducted by Harry Zimmerman. The Saint, based on characters created by Leslie Charteris, is a James L. Saphir production and is directed by Thomas A. McAvity. Vincent Price is soon to be seen in Harry M. Popkin's production of Champagne for Caesar, co-starring Ronald Coleman. All you Saint fans will be glad to know that the Saint comic books are on sale at all newsstands. Your announcer, Merrill Ross. This is the Mutual Broadcasting System.
That is The Saint, starring Vincent Price in A Schizophrenic Psychiatrist, is the name of that episode. From September 18th, 1949, heard on the Mutual Network. Great cast of characters in this. Betty Lou Gerson, William Conrad, Barney Phillips, and Merle Ross. Was a great show, The Saint. I like those. There's not a lot of them, unfortunately. There's maybe 15 or so in existence.
Vincent Price is great as The
Saint. Yeah, it's too bad, too, because it was on the air from 1947 through 1951. I'm trying to think if I have any saints with anyone else as the saint. I don't think so. I think there was other actors,
right,
but I don't think any of those exist. So just a few episodes of The Saint. We play them here every once in a while for you.